This is the first year Greek class, Bible Greek class, and it's the second semester, the third meeting, the third class that we have. The date is January 31st, 1985, lesson 26.5 to 27, pages 86 to 89, paragraphs 204 to 213. The textbook is The Beginner's Grammar of the Greek New Testament by Dr. William Hershey Davis. And this is sponsored by Baptist Bible Seminary and the Bible for Today. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of Bible for Today, 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey.
Begin our class with a word of prayer, shall we, man? Dear Lord, we thank Thee again for this evening. We thank Thee for these men who have come to study this language of the New Testament. We thank Thee that Thou hast preserved Thy Word for us to study and to listen to and to look at. Thank You for the helps and the different textbooks that we have. Now, cause them to remember that which they've studied, and cause us, Lord, to appreciate what Thou hast done through Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can come unto Thee through Him. Keep us humble, and yet, Lord, keep us as diligent as students as we possibly can, that we may be rightly dividing the word of truth at all times. Help these men in their studies, help their families, help them in their sicknesses they may have throughout this season of winter weather. Keep them safe on the highways as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we've got tonight 26 and a half, I guess it was, which is just the exercises, plus 27, all of lesson 27. So let's review very short vocabulary, not too much to that. Five words, demon as well, the demon, with the article.
Ta daimonion,
and then and, or also, or even,
kai,
right? And then around, or about, concerning, or from around, or round about, whatever. A lot of different things. Around, I guess you could say, is this one?
Peri,
okay. This man is peri is that manifold. You see, I'm trying to find that free. Genitive and accusative. About, concerning, so on. Genitive and accusative. Let's see. Genitive, ablative. All right. Now, the reason for that is this is apparently a five-case system. And so they just had genitive. See? And here they fine-tune it with the genitive and ablative. That'd be my guess. Yeah. Apparently, ablative and accusative have that other dimension, see? So that's probably it. Because in the five-case system, the ablative and genitive are the same case. So they just say genitive as a general rule.
Well, he has ablative.
Oh, excuse me.
He has a locative.
Well, all right. I guess you're right. I didn't know it's up there, but I'm looking at Peri. Apparently he just didn't
maybe
include that. See?
Maybe
he
omitted it.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know whether that's a bone of contention among the grammarians. Let me see what Dana and Maddie have to say with that.
Who's Peri?
Preposition.
Jeff Benson.
Page 96. Well, we looked at three, alphabetical order.
What was that, like your institute or something?
No, seminary.
With the genitive case, about, concerning. With the accusative case, roundabout. Remote meanings in behalf of, and so on. He doesn't, Dana Manny doesn't mention the ablative either. In behalf of, with, and so on. Doesn't particularly, so maybe this Davis is just adding a little extra. Now maybe Robertson, his large grammar, talks about the ablative case, but Dana Manny leave that on too. They just have the two. Okay, well, I misspoke myself. I just thought maybe that's why, maybe just five case, but he does have
no, he's got the, yeah. It was, if I recall, it was the,
they have locative.
He's got locative and,
I wonder if he has instrumental and
data. Yeah, he has instrumental.
All right, that's good. He's got everything.
He's got everything.
You don't know what text it was in.
The book is by Sumner. Robert Sumner.
No, that's, I don't know Robert, but I think one of the Sumners.
Well, it's Sumner.
Yeah,
maybe it's not Robert.
Robert is a current one by biblical evangelist. He may be Robert, I don't know. I think he's Southern Baptist, so he'd follow the train of A.D. Robertson five-case system and maintain that whole thing. See, the Presbyterians and Machen and all at Princeton, they had the five-case mentality, so they perpetuated the five-case system. But this probably was a regular, Summers, as I recall, was definitely Southern Baptist trained. All right, so Puri is, just say around on all sides, over, in behalf of, in place of, instead of, all those other things.
Huper.
We learned last week that anti and huper, how would you compare and contrast them as far as words for the substitutionary atonement of Christ? How would you compare and contrast anti and huper? Both translated, Christ died for us, meaning in our place, substitute as a substitute for us. But how would you compare them or contrast them?
Huper always is substitution in for the benefit of.
All right, that adds that plus for the benefit. Anti is substitution just
below it.
Oh, that's all. See, just substitution, that's all, which is fine.
So. Okay.
Doesn't add that element of it for the benefit of after you've got Christ dying for us in our place. That's all, see, which is good enough. It's still a hyper, it's a substitutionary blood atonement, but huper is also for our benefit on top of that, adds grace to grace, you see. All right, that's just briefly the distinction between those two, in that particular meaning at least. And the relative pronoun as or when?
Post.
All right. Any question on those five? You should get those pretty easily. All right, don't forget that's a rough breathing, hosts. Let's go then to the future indicative active of liuo, which means I shall loose. All right, let's go through that one there. Luso, luseis, luse. Lusomen, lusete, lususi. And infinitive?
Lusane.
Lusane, right? Not elusane or anything else before, just lusane, right? All right, now the middle. I shall loose myself. Future middle. Lusomen, luse, lusetai. Lusamata, lusete, lusontai. Infinitive? Lusestai. Lusestai, I guess it's lusestai, yeah. Future infinitive following six times. And then we had the future indicative of a me, which is I shall be. You will be, he, she, it will be. So, all right, let's try that. Esomai, esse, estai. Esomata, esseste, esontai. Infinitive, esseste, again. Esomai, esse, estai. Not estai, but just estai. See, estai. You'd think it would be estai, but estai. They drop that epsilon. Esamatha, esista, esontai. Infinitive, esistai. All right, any other questions on
that? I've got to get these infinitives here right. It's just then for the future active infinitive, is just to loose, that's all
yes,
that is?
Yes, to loose. Yeah.
And then for the, is to loose one's
to
oneself.
To loose oneself, I think that's all.
And then the other side is just to be?
To be. Mm-hmm. Future is just to be. You know, because of the... To be in the future with the infinitive, it just it knows no bounds. See, and when you say anything else, it will be bound on infinitive, not binding, not without limits. Mm-hmm. Any other questions on anything? Put the translation there too, if you would. All right, let's get your papers out, please, and we'll take this and move on. All right, vocabulary first. And just the five words. All right, word number one is as or when. Number two is the demon. Number three is and, also, or even. Number four is in behalf of or over. Instead of, number five is around or about, concerning. Those are the five. Any questions on those five? All right, then also get the future indicative active of liuo, I shall loose, and the future indicative middle of liuo, I shall loose myself, plus the future indicative of a me, I shall be. Any questions on those? All right, go ahead and let me know when you're ready. Now let me turn this on here. I think we're clear of our barrier here for tape usage. But in the Daniel's 99th chapter, the 70th week, he has 7 plus 62 is 69, times 7 equals 483, times 360 days a year is 173,880 days. $173,880. See, he just multiplies the 360 times that 480 years. The period ended with the triumphal entry on April 6, 32 AD, and a few days later, after the 62 weeks, the Lord was crucified. So it's interesting. Whereas on the surface, these years don't add up to the proper days, yet if you see that they're years of 360-day cycle rather than the extra five, so you come pretty close. If you have 445 B.C. to 30 A.D., you add that, it's 475. If there's 483 years that are predicted, you're only, what, 8 years off, I guess, aren't you? 73 to 85 is 8 years. But you see, you get the 5 days, it comes right up to exactly where it is. So actually, what is saying, if the Jews knew when the command to rebuild Jerusalem was in 445 B.C., they knew that date, and looked and read in Daniel's prophecy, they would know exactly when Messiah the Prince was cut off and the whole thing. And of course, after this was the destruction of Jerusalem, 70 A.D., which is predicted also in Daniel, to make an end to the temple and so on, temple worship and so on. The prince that shall come to destroy the city and the sanctuary, which Titus A.D. did, AD 70. And then, of course, Daniel 70th week over there. So that was a little, you begin to think of how you're going to teach this if you don't know how to get the things coming out as they ought to come out. So I was glad to see this little Shofar magazine help on that. So,
if they would have been relatively keen in their reconciling their time, they could have predicted when the Messiah was coming.
They had the right
way back then. And
Daniel was given that revelation.
Who was the guy that in one of the Gospels?
By the way, Sir Robert Anderson is the one that's figured this right to the T in his book on The Coming Prince, I believe, is the name of it.
Alvin McLean has a book also. Weeks of Daniel.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Excuse me, I interrupted.
There was a guy, got his name in the Bible, who was, who after he saw the child Christ, I guess the account was in Luke, he said, now I can die.
Luke Timidus, now let us thy servant depart in peace.
Right. He was one guy they say who was expecting the Messiah.
Yes, right. But he probably got
the Daniel 70 weeks.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. He may have been waiting.
Waiting and seeing.
Right.
Right. And very, very interesting. See all this specific detail. That's why.
In fact, when they hear it, I guess they would have had. That's why they went back into the.
They knew he was going to be.
They knew he was coming soon, and they went back into the scriptures to find out where is he going to come.
Right.
I didn't know if they figured out in terms of, hey, this is the time. It should be it.
The only problem you have in Daniel's 9 is to say 7 weeks, 70 weeks rather, determined upon thy people, 70 weeks. And the problem that some have, weeks of years. And the answer to that is in Genesis, I think it's 29 or whatever it is. I've got it in my Bible. I didn't bring the Bible down with me. Where the account is given of Jacob serving for the two women, first to for Rachel, but he thought he was going to get Rachel, and then he got Leah, so Rachel. And Laban says, fulfill her week, and you will find you'll have Rachel also. And he worked another 7 years, and he got her. See, so the seven-year week, it's a Shabbathi. It's a Shabbat. It's just like seven is Shabbat, and this is Shabbat. So it's the same. Same Hebrew word, actually,
really,
a little different pointing.
It doesn't even mean week, it means seven.
That's right, seven. It's period seven, that's right. It doesn't
seven
mean seven.
Sevens.
Seven sevens. Yeah. It could be sevens a year, sevens a week, sevens a month. You have to get the context.
The word week is really just a translation or interpretation.
That's right.
What that seven means.
For instance, Shavi'im is the Hebrew word. Shavi'im, he puts this in here. And then the next word is Shavim. Shavim, which is pointed that way, and Shavim. And the second one is sevens. 70, Shavim, and then Shavim sevens. 77s. That's just different pointing, but it's the same identical Hebrew letters in both cases. 77s.
Right.
Pointed a little different. So, that's right. It doesn't say weeks or years or what. So.
But you know that in terms of time, that was the seven, or the week is the period of time that the Lord used in terms of for man's, he gave that obviously at
Ten Commandments.
In the Ten Commandments.
Right.
And that's
that's not a have anything to do with solar time. It's just a man's time in referencing God's work or man's work relationship. And
that's right.
And then the Sabbath.
Yeah, that's true.
So seven sevens was, I think the seven was automatically that span of time which had been week, which was a week.
Yeah, that's right. So the sevens would normally be the week. But in this case, it's weeks of years. And so it works out fine. I don't know. Well, Harold Camping doesn't like to have a literal fulfillment of that, being an amillennialist and so on. But it's very clear and when you actually see it. All right, any other questions you have before we move on then to the next lesson for next week? We should take that up before we take up our exercises. Do we have two exercises tonight?
Yes.
I believe we have two tonight. All right. Next week, men will be in February 7th, our fourth class, and we'll take 28 and all of half of 29. So let's take a look at exercise 28 to start with. We're going to take the future indicative active and middle. Continuing that, we already had future indicative active of Liu and middle of Liu, and we'll just continue on from there. All right, I love is what? One word for I love.
Agapao.
Agapao. Agapao. All right. Another one, of course, is what? Have we had the other word? Falago yet? Have we had that?
No.
Not, all right, they're just starting in this. All right. And, of course, Arao, which is not used in the Bible, erotic love. Phileo and agapao. This is agapao. Alright, we're going to take now the contract verbs. That's what we're getting into. These contract verbs. A-o, e-o. I don't think we have any a-o, the Omicron contract verbs. They're contract verbs. Now, they look strange. They are different. I don't know if they're having you to conjugate them at this point and learn that, but they're just introducing you to them. It looks a little strange to have an a-o. When you have the actual declension, agapao swallows up agapo. See, you swallow the alpha up with the omega. The omega being a larger letter with a bigger mouth, it just eats it right up, and then you have to change the accent. So, but all right, agapao. I ask for something.
Aiteo.
All right, aiteo. Aiteo. I ask for something. Here's the eo, e contract verb. Contract, because it contracts. That's why they call it a contract verb.
Oh, okay.
Contracts and shortens up. See, that's why. I follow as well.
Akalufeo.
Memory hint, akalufeo. There is an, in figures of speech used in the Bible by Bullinger, which is an excellent reference book. It's back in print now. One of the figures is anakaluthon. Anakaluthon, see, and this is something that does not follow. Anakaluthon. Akalutheo and an before means no, doesn't follow. In other words, there's something that doesn't follow, non sequitur in Latin, you'd say, non sequitur, something that does not follow logically or anything else. So anakaluthon is there, but if you don't know anakaluthon, you wouldn't know what akalutheo. That is an actual word that uses this Greek word to follow, not follow. And I guess anakaluthon really is a figure of speech in English, but although we hardly ever hear it. All right, I love akapao agape. Of course, we've got that. Aiteo, I ask for something. Aiteo. I wonder if that is related to etiology. I'm wondering. Etiology. Aiteo. Aiteos. Aiteos is the cause. Now that's a different one. Aitia. Aitia. Alpha, yoda, tau, yoda, alpha. Aitia is cause. Aiteo is to ask for something. I'm sure the two must be related somewhere along the line. But, you know, etiology, it means the cause of a disease. You've heard of that. You know what that is, no? In other words, you ask when you have something from the doctor, what is the etiology? That's the cause. What is the prognosis? That's how am I going to do? So on. And so forth. But etiology. Now, let me see. Aitia. Let me just get that up in here in our analytical lexicon and see if they're not linked some way. Aitia. Hey, Aitia is the cause, the motive, the incitement, so accusation, Aitia. Aitiomai, Aitiomai. Aitios, Aitioma. No. Apparently, Aiteo is not related to that. It's not Aitioma. No. Aetios, the author, the causer, the author, one who causes something. Aetia. No, that's not it. I thought maybe it's out on the surface and it's not underneath either. So there's no Aetio to ask for something. But Aetio and Erotao, we had Erotao, we had Erotao right in here, I guess. Ask a question, all right? They have the two different ones, all right? I beget is what?
Genao.
All right, Genao. Notice the double nu. The double nu. Genao. To beget. Genomai, you see, is to become or to be, but Genao is to actually beget. The father begets the child. That's the birth process, the beginning of the birth process. I believe Genao is used for the female to give birth to the child, see. So the male, it is his part in the birth, and the female's part, I believe, is the actual.
I thought it was the other way around, like the man begets, but the woman bears.
That's true, but I'm saying Genao, I think, when used for a woman, can mean to bring forth the child. See, now let me just check here. That would seem a little bit non-technical to say that, because it is not using the same word for the two different processes. But I think that's what we're going to find. Let me see, Genao. I think we were called from that several days ago or weeks ago. To beget, to use the men, to beget or generate, Genao. Matthew 1, 2 through 16. Of women, to bring forth, to bear, to give birth to. Luke 1, 13. See, she shall bring forth this new child. But see, with a man, Genao, that's to beget. Apparently, Genao means to cause, to bring forth. To initiate the process whereby a child is brought forth. That's it. But it's the initiating process with the male. Female just simply carries it out and fulfills that process in the birth itself. So it's interesting. It's not as technical as we would make it. We would say, here's one word for one and one for the other. But I think in the idea of the causative force for the male, to cause to bring forth, actually get out, to be, if it's a male, to cause to bring forth, the woman to bring forth, just straight bring forth without any causation. Although she had a hand in causing it too, you see, with the ovum there, certainly. But, I mean, that's the actual birth process.
Yeah. We have all those begets in the genealogy.
Yes, that's right. And in Genesis and also in Matthew, you know, begot, did we not, in Matthew? And the begot there, I'm sure, is Genao. You see what we have in Matthew, is it?
You want to really get off the track for a minute? That was
oh, sure, when I read. I think we'll slide along. We may not get as much as we want to in John chapter 1, but that's an extra. That's just padding. If we can get it, we get it.
Really we'll get off the track.
I was going to ask you why.
I'm a trackless trolley.
I'm right. I was going to ask you why both the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke seem to be Joseph's genealogies. Whereas I know one of them's Mary's. How do you know that? The scripture doesn't seem to say that.
No, except in Matthew you have a specific picture here of Abraham begat, and that's Egenathan, double new, double new. That's the actual begat, cause to bring forth the bear. There's a cause and relationship to Abraham begat Isaac. So there is a father-son relationship in the begetting situation. See, at least that's the implication here. In Luke, you don't have such a tight picture, but you have an italic type in the King James Version, and the son of, see. It's just of.
Oh,
all you have is the of. So you just have the genitive, right. See. That's the situation.
Well, where it splits is it's Solomon, right? Solomon's son,
yes.
Nathan,
see?
And...
that's right.
Nathan and Solomon.
Nathan, that's right.
And
Solomon. And Nathan is the one, and Solomon is the other, you see. And now, Luke 3 simply says... is it 3? Is it 3 or 2 here? Luke 3. Let's see, I'm trying to see the genealogy. I don't have my regular Bible. Yeah, it's 3. It is 3. Okay. For instance, and Jesus himself is about 30 years of age, Luke 3:23, as was supposed the son of Joseph. All right, let's see, 23.
It seems to indicate, too, that Joseph had two different fathers. He's called Jacob in one and Eli or something, I think, in the other one.
Joseph? Is that right?
The son of, what does it say there, Joseph, the son of?
Yes, here it says Joseph to Eli, yeah, of Eli, right. Mm-hmm.
And in Matthew, is that Luke or Matthew?
This is Luke, yeah.
And in Matthew, it has him the son of Jacob. So it's confusing.
I see. Well, now,
Joseph, isn't that the same Joseph? I don't think it's the same Joseph. You're saying Joseph as being Joseph, the husband of Mary?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same Joseph. Because one, you got a genealogy of Mary, and the other one's the genealogy of Joseph.
Yeah, but how do you know that's the genealogy of Mary? Mary's not mentioned. Except
it says Jacob begat Joseph, right? The husband of Mary.
So that's Jacob, pretty well delineated.
Yeah.
Jacob.
Well, then your proof is right here. Since it says Joseph was of Eli, he descended from, you know, maybe that's the relationship that you're seeking there as far as the father-in-law. I don't know. That's a point there. The thing is, you have the assumption, you don't have absolute proof in the thing, but you have the assumption that these are separate genealogies because they're through a different line of David. And of course, Matthew's line has the curse right in there, see. You have Jechonias in that line. And Jechonias was cursed in Jeremiah, and one that would be begotten of him. I don't have my Bible right here for it, but it's several times mentioned in Jeremiah that
that can't be Mary.
That could not be Mary, see, because that was the cursed line. Now, it's the line of the father, the husband, as a husband, the foster father of the Lord, in order to establish the Davidic lineage of both husband, or the father and the father, foster father and the mother, to get to David's throne. Legally and legitimately, both had to be of the lineage of David, you see, and Mary and Joseph both. So it's establishing that, and the curse was there. So obviously, Christ himself would be accursed if he were born of the human father Joseph. But he escapes that in Luke's genealogy, and that's why the assumption is that he was of this one, of that one, of the other. Now, let me see if at the start of this genealogy, I think it can be understood clearly. The 3 in verse 23, Jesus was supposed 30 years. The Lord was 30 years of age, being as supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Eli, which was the son of Matthai. Now, Joseph was of Eli. If that were his father-in-law, that would make sense that Jacob, on the one hand, was the father, and or Joseph, who Jacob was the other father, and Eli's the other.
Mm-hmm.
If this were his father-in-law, which was of Matthai, which was of, you see, it's the son is interpolated as what it might be, but it might be the son-in-law, you see. So, I don't know how much the Jews related to the father-in-law, whether there's any historical reference to that. That would be what you'd have to look at, see, Josephus or some other Jewish historian, to see whether or not they would ever reckon an actual man as being somehow connected with his father-in-law, you know, which, but you see, it would be the logical way to do it, Jewish way thinking of their males being supreme and the females, you know, in the background, not mentioning them too much and not keeping them in their genealogies only with the male. How else could you do it? If you want to relate a male genealogy, yet you get a female. So you'd almost have to take the father-in-law and get the wife in there, see? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's no other, it would be very unlikely that you'd have a woman. Here's Mary, who's the daughter of this daughter. I'm trying to think in the Bible if there are any women genealogies. I'm just trying to think. I know that David is in Ruth, you know, who's the grandmother of David or whatever. The connection is there in the book of Ruth. You get but there it is, Obed and Jesse and David. See, Rahab. It's all the males anyway.
Rahab is in one of them.
Yes,
too, but
Rahab.
She's just mentioned.
Yeah. In fact, all these sinner women.
All
these
sinner women.
Bathsheba's there, and Rachel. Rahab is there. That's right, Rahab the harlot. And that's, I think, in Matthew. Well, I'm not sure. Maybe, you know, as I say, I don't have my English. My Bible's upstairs. My brains are with it, I guess. Yeah. As far as specific detail, verse, I remember that I've got it all underlined there. The women that were there, the harlot Rahab and Bathsheba and Ruth, who is not a harlot or not an evil woman, but I mean the Gentile. See, these Gentile women that are brought in to the relationship and into the... I think that is Mary's line. I think that is Luke.
Right. Well, you know, and
you
that
there,
well,
only
we're just trying to flip it back and forth real quickly, because my notes are at home, and I've had it reconciled. But in Matthew, you have Joseph is the line of through Joseph, because he's got Jacob beget Joseph, the husband of Mary.
Yeah, that's definitely that's a line. See, okay. Because beget. Right. See, these and other of it's elusive. Go ahead.
Then in Luke you have the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli.
Yeah, Heli.
Is that guy mentioned in the other one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In fact, they're pretty diverse from Solomon and Nathan.
Yeah,
they're pretty diverse.
Yes, the son of Orab was the son of Boaz, Jesse. So. Let's see. Anyway, well, maybe I'm wrong on that because that's only Jesse. It doesn't get into David, the Nathan.
I didn't think.
Well, maybe it's Matthew. I guess Matthew's the women, the ladies. See these.
Well, it's in Matthew that
Matthew.
Has the ladies.
That's
yeah.
The one. Yeah, right.
You go to.
I was wrong. I thought it was Luke, but it's Matthew.
And Zerah of Tamar and Pharaoh's begat Ezra.
Yeah, Tamar. That's true. Tamar,
right.
The harlot,
right.
Who played the harlot,
right.
Judith. My.
Boaz.
And Ruth and mm-hmm. Rahab and Bathsheba.
Right.
So that's what happy I mean. Bathsheba happy because it's Solomon. See,
right.
And Matthew and it's Nathan, the other way. And Jeconias, you got there. Where's Jeconias? Verse 1 in Matthew 1.
Jeconias.
12. Verse 12.
Okay. Right.
All right. Thank you.
Isn't he the one that was cursed?
Cursed. He was the cursed one.
Isn't it strange that would be in Matthew?
Well, see, that's Joseph.
But you would think that Matthew, with the Jewish emphasis, would want to emphasize the direct Davidic line.
But he's emphasizing the male and the foster father. We keep things crossed up like the modernists here.
So is that what that would indicate that he was a rightful heir then?
Yeah, I think mm-hmm. so. Rightful heir to the throne.
Because of the father.
That's right, the father's influence. Right. Even though he had this curse and so on, that's why Luke brings in Mary.
Right. Well, Matthew's written to the Jews.
That's right.
Primarily for the Jews, so you stay right in line with the Jewish, they would have,
that's
which
why
is
it starts
the male.
Starts from Abraham, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, it supports the fact that
Abraham,
that he's a son of the promise and king, and he's
that's
a son of the king.
But Mary goes back to Adam.
Right, but that's because Luke's a moral and a historian.
Right, he's a historian.
Yeah.
This is
so
giving you a different
yeah.
viewpoint. He's looking at a different viewpoint.
That's right. So, there we are.
Back on the trail, right?
Back on the trail.
I try to pull up my notes. That's reconcilable. It is reconcilable.
Yeah. As I say, the proof is not as clear as some would wish it were, but on the other hand, what do we got, see?
Right.
What do we got? So you got the son of, and you got to have Mary somewhere. You either have Mary's genealogy, you have a biblical contradiction, one of the two. And you can't
because
have a biblical contradiction,
right.
So you got to have Mary's genealogy.
It would be in Luke, because you could, instead of saying the son of, you could say of the house of.
Yes, house of, that's
of
right.
The house of Heli.
That's right. Like that. Or the relative of, or in the connection with, in some way, some relationship to, because mm-hmm. the genitive, as you know, is just of.
Right.
Or ablative, from. Mm-hmm. And so they move along that way. All right, a little slow in getting all that out, but without my regular Bible, it's all marked up. I got all that right in there. But I should really bring that Bible down, then we might be tempted more than we are. You know?
Huh? Well, if we can get it answered.
That's right. Well, you know, I got it in my brain, but I like to get the specific verses and chapters and do a quick write up there like I'm teaching the Word. But all right. Ganao we've got. That all came out of Ganao, which is caused to bring forth or to bring forth, depending on male or female. And of course, generation would be a memory hit on that, and Genesis, any of these words. Generate. See, that's from Ganao. That's your memory hit for English word. All right, I ask a question here. Would be what?
Erotau.
Erotau. See, ask for something is aitau. That's ask a question. Ask for something, like a petition. And my son Dan came home from Pensacola, and he went to the college in Kerr Group and had an Anti Baptist church. And he said, Dad, he said in John 16 or 14, whatever it was, are the two Greek words for ask? And I looked at him and said, sure, Dan. One is aitao, which means to ask a question of someone. Another is ask a petition of someone, ask a favor of something. And erotao means to ask a question, simply. So that's right. Well, that's what they were teaching, you know, in that class. He just wanted to check it up and see if the teacher was right or not. Mm-hmm. But they were right in there, aitao. I think henceforth you'll no longer ask a favor of me or whatever aitao, but you'll ask the Father directly in my name, that sort of context. And so these are the two. Erotesis is an English word, but we wouldn't have that anywhere. I don't know any memory hits in that erotao. Can you think of any? Erotao. I'm sure they're big words, but sometimes they're such big words that might as well learn it cold as to know the English big word. All right, I live is what?
Zao.
Zao. Well, zao is related to zoe, see, but you wouldn't really know that. We got the omega, just have the zo. Because you see, once you get the contract verb contracted, you drop out the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
So the first person singular, the present indicative active is zo. So you got zoology. See, zao, zoology, zoe, that's the same. But zao.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember zo and you got the ao as a contract verb. I seek as well. Zeteo. Okay, zeteo, I seek. I remember hits on that, I'm sure, but I don't just think of what they would be, zeteo. Again, medical words perhaps, and I loaned out my medical Greek and Latin dictionary to somebody. It's a red book, a nice book, beautiful book. It's 35 years old, but I can't find it. I don't know who's got it, whether one of my sons or who, but I that would be the thing I'd like to have. And I don't know, probably out of print by now, but oh boy, all those different Latin words and Greek words and medical terms that you can just, you know, even though they're big words, you don't really remember what they are, but it makes the thing live because you can see the Greek used in English.
You got to have a charge out system.
Yeah,
Dr. Thornton does
that's
at
right.
school.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard books from him before. He
right.
writes it all down.
Yeah, you just got to do that. Boy, when you... I got so that I did have after that several instances, you know, and I go in the bottom of my basement there, wherever the book is, over this Lenski on the Gospel of John or Matthew, so, and I put right into the date, the time, the place, and who has that particular thing. So it sticks right out of the big ear in a big long piece of paper. So I go down there any time. There are not too many out, but they get them back, see. So, but before, who knows, trusting people.
Yeah.
All right, I just like people have loaned the books out in the libraries. You don't bring them back, even if you got the name down. A lot of people.
We've got pages missing out of books.
Really?
That's amazing.
We got articles ripped out of magazines and books ripped.
They take the magazine and cut out.
If there's a nice article about sending off or something, just nice clean razor blade, just cut right out.
There are all kinds of
stuff
missing.
Yeah, you see with the copy machine situation now, they should just be able to make a copy of that if they wanted.
Well, they got it. They still see a lot of it. I don't know if it's from prior time, but it's so much underlying stuff. And
prior is still happening.
Is that right? Mm, that's too bad. All right. I seek. We've had zeteo, to search for something, to seek. I speak as well.
Laleo.
We've had lego. We've had what else? Apon, which is part of lego. We had any other verb per se? Laleo is the mechanics of speech. We've had reo. We've had that reo yet, have we? Reo.
Yeah, we had
rema. We have rema, the word. All right, that's from reo, to flow out of the mouth. That's the spoken word, but reo is the word that's derived from rema. But this is the mechanics. La 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 is la leo. See, it's the mechanics of speaking more or less.
So this is the mechanics.
Yeah, I would
of speaking?
Think so. La leo. That's the mechanics. There are other ways of defining and differentiating. Lego is the logic, the thought, the intent of the mind. You see, as you speak out, the brain part of it that brings it to bear. The leo is the flowing out, the spoken as it's spoken. And la leo is sort of that's what I was taught. It was a mechanical aspect of speaking.
What's the difference between logos and rhema?
Logos is the word, is the idea, the thought,
idea.
See,
right.
Which comes out in the word, and stressing the thought aspect of it, and rhema is the result of the spoken word. So, the sword of the Spirit is the rhema of God, of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. I take it that the sword of the Spirit is the spoken word of God. That's why we've got to memorize Scripture and speak it forth That's the thing that the Lord used on Satan, you know, on the temptations. And that's what I take out to me. And
that's the rhema.
Rhema. Not just the word of God that's in the Bible, say, cold and tight. But the sword of the Spirit is the spoken, used word of God and the proper thing. That's the thing that brings conviction to the heart of sinners, that wins souls to Christ, and that exhorts believers to do what they ought to do. See, it's that spoken word. So that's what I think.
Kenneth Hagin's Bible, whatever he's got, school or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. Rhema.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And that would fit in because they believe in the confession and, you know, positive confession, and that would fit right in there, you know.
Oh, I see.
You got to speak the word, and then the word is what does these things. Mm-hmm. You know, you just speak the word out.
Was he a faith healer kind of guy?
Yeah, he's one of these. They don't know.
Hagin, I've heard that.
Yeah, I don't know. Big. Every Pentecostal will tell you who Kent Hagin is. Every one of them.
He got a busload of people that get healed every time. Is he one of them?
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah, I got some of his writings because I'm trying to work on a doctrinal message on the baptism of the Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, and he's got, I got all this. Yeah,
he's got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, H-A-G-I-N, right?
H-A-G-I-N or A-N, something like that.
Yeah, I got it. I just haven't finished it. I'm trying to go, you know,
What does the Logos mean when it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ?
Well,
what are they trying to say? If it means the divine reason,
he's the actual embodiment of all that the Father, Son, Holy Spirit thought about the deity, about themselves, about the truth, about everything else, the Logos. In Archaean Hologos, the Word. He's called the Word because he's the expression of all the thoughts and all the mental gymnastics. We don't want to call gymnastics as far as the mental processes, I guess you'd call it, reasonings of the Godhead. And he has formulated it in all in himself. See, now he's the express image of his person, the exact character. In the book of Hebrews, we see that. And he's also in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So he's a visual cue, and he's also the reasonable, logical clue as well, embodied in one person, you see. So the Logos is similar to the exact character, and in him dwelleth the whole person of the Godhead bodily. So he's dwelling there. You can see him because he's the image of the invisible God, and he's also the Word, and whatever he says is what the Father says, and that's why he said, "I have heard what I've heard from my Father, I speak." Mm-hmm. So I think that's the essence of Logos. It's the distilled reason into the words spoken. See, the logic, the reasoning, the fruit of it is a word or words or a message. You see, he's the message. Logos is a message that gives out the message. Now, that doesn't mean that when we say we have the Word of God, that it's only the message that's important, not the words as such. But I mean, that's the general thing of Logos. It's a very complicated esoteric type of reasoning to get that whole theological perspective there. But he hasn't left himself without a witness, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. They have embodied in every detail in Christ exactly what we need to know. See, and it's embodied in the Word, the message. Here's the message. What we need to know is what he brought to us. And a lot of other things that he could have said, but these are recorded that we may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him have life through his name. So that's basically the Jehovah's Witnesses like to get off on Logos and make him less than the deity that he is, and less than the Son, but that's heresy. Any other thoughts on that? Quite a lot of that would speak, and I bear witness or I testify is what? Martyr. Right? We've had He Martyria, the witness or the martyr. And the martyr is, of course, your memory hint. I beseech, exhort, or encourage is what? Parakalat. Now, have we had Kalatu? Have we to call? Have we had Kalatu yet or not?
No.
My Kalatu is to call, and Para is alongside. See the preposition? You get your rat and mice and your cheese. Where is he? Is he alongside of the cheese on that? Let's see where we get the para. Get that mouse.
Beside it, I think.
On the right side or left side? Oh, he's beside the front. He's in the front.
Is he there?
Yeah, he's in the front. Yeah,
okay.
Does it make a difference if he's on
the
left?
Well, I don't know.
The captain got him another show.
Right.
I was just trying to see where to find him associated. I don't know if it makes a difference.
They certainly is in the right spot.
He's neither on the right nor the left. He's in the fourth one.
Maybe if he's on the left, on the right side, it's after the word, you know.
Of course, it's on the cheese's right, but it's on our left as we look at it, right? If you look at the piece of cheese.
Depends on how you look
right.
at it.
Yeah.
It could be on the right side if you're looking from that way.
That's right. If you're looking this way, that's right. So that's the case of the mouse there. But parakaleo, see, that's where the Holy Spirit is called a paraclete, parakletos. Kletos to call alongside as a help, an aid. And Jesus said he would send another comforter, another parakletos. So alos, another just like I am, see. Not a heteros, a different of a different sort. So the Lord Jesus Christ himself was a comforter. He was an encourager. He was an exhorter. He was one here to comfort them. And so the Holy Spirit is another one also would come. Parakaleo. So exhortation is parakaleo, and this is one of the things that prophecy is for exhortation, whereas tongues, you know, are for something else in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You get this parakaleo. But this is important. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. Exhort. Mm-hmm. Parakaleo. As you encourage, comfort. See, not just rebuke and reprove, which are necessary, but you've got also to encourage the saints as well as the other. They don't want you to reprove and rebuke. They just like the encouragement many times, but
What does the reprove mean? Because I've heard two different things on that.
Reprove elenko.
I've heard one thing that it means to reestablish or reconfirm, to reprove, literally, as you know, to when you prove something, then you reprove it. But I always thought that reprove was more of a rebuke.
Yes, it is. It's not the reproving. I think it's a rebuke. My notes on that are in the other room on 2 Timothy, which I did an exhaustive analysis of that and preached the whole book of Timothy, you know, and used a lot of the Greek words in different places, different times. But that, and of course, in our own Bible study, home Bible study class, we took 2 Timothy, and we used those notes in that as well. But the two words are interrelated, and I don't recall in detail the other word, but the rebuke or a reprove, 2 Timothy 3:16. Let me just to see. Elenko is one of them, of course. And let's see which one it is. Reprove, rebuke. Well, that's all scriptures given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for thou. See, the reproof is used there again also in 16 and 17. Profitable for doctrine for verse 16. Yes, 16. Profitable for teaching. Elenko for conviction, yes, 3:16, and correction.
No, the reprove, rebuke.
All right, now right. Now, see, the thing is, I'm trying to get these related. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof. See, the same word, elenkon, actually, is that word for conviction, reproof. And preach the word for two, which is the motto of Dallas Theological Seminary, by the way. Mm-hmm. Preach the word katexonton logon. Reprove, elenkson is the imperative. Rebuke is epitemeson, epitemao. Now, elenkon, same as in 3:16, is to convict so that the criminal knows exactly what his crime is and he admits up to it, faces up to it, see? And that's what that is. It's reproving. Conviction is a word. Now, that's sometimes translated enlightenment. Sometimes it's translated expose. Expose is a good translation of that. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, or is it chapter 3? I guess, is it 2? Where it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, this is the word elenko.
Same word?
Same word. Mm-hmm. And that word reprove can be equally translated, expose them. Mm-hmm. Bring them to the light. Turn on the light against them, see? The unfruitful works of darkness, which is what we've got to do with sin in the believer, sin in our own heart, first of all. The Word of God does it because it's given for reproof. in 3:16. That's one of the purposes of the Word of God, to reprove our own hearts so that we can be exposed for the sin that we have. And the other word, convict, is stronger even than reprove. Reproving sees what it throws the light on us. It sees the sin. It points a finger to it. And rebuke is a stronger word. I wish I had my my notes there, because it's a very interesting difference. And a number of course, we can look it up in this one too to see the difference in our lexicon. But just in a word, the elenchon is capable of, it's used in judicial proceedings in the Greek courts, reprove, elenchon. It's to prove that somebody's guilty. See, now reproof in that sense of proving, it exposes them and it shows that they're guilty, and that that's what the Holy Spirit does. It reproves the world of sin, the righteousness of judgment. See, of sin because they believe not on me. It convicts, it exposes, yes, mm-hmm. Elenchon. When he, the Spirit of Truth, will come, he show. This elenchos is a very, very wide-ranging word, and it's a very important word, and it's very important as to the preachers. It's what makes them get railroaded out of the congregation sometimes. But it's a word. It's a use, and it's a experience. It's a process that every pastor who's faithful to the Word of God must fulfill if he's to be a preacher worth his salt. So few preachers these days do anything about reproof. Why reprove? Why the deacon so-and-so and trustee so-and-so and money bag so-and-so, we get all upset about it, and a little girl here and a little one. I tell you, I guess that's why, maybe why I'm so glad to be in the Bible for Day ministry, which is an independent, sovereign, local ministry in and of itself, responsible to those who receive our materials and so on, but yet not under this one, this one, this one, so that, oh, you're rebuking. So we can rebuke, we can exhort, we can reprove, and there's no, with all long-suffering and doctrine. But elenchos, rebuke, elenko, let's see. As I say, this is the thing that is unpopular. For instance, them that sin, rebuke before all, 1 Timothy 5:20. See, it's talking about the elders, the pastors, the bishops, the elders that sin, rebuke before all, see. Elenko. Expose them. Point the finger at them, see. And you see, when you do that, you get a whole bunch of people saying, oh, you shouldn't talk about these. Oh, you shouldn't rebuke poor Virgil Stone King, you know, of Bethel Baptist Church in Cherry Hill for his adultery and so on. You shouldn't reprove poor Don Sewell of Emmanuel Baptist Church, Toledo, Ohio, Council of 18 men, head of the, on the board there. And so various things. But you see, the Bible tells me as a preacher of the gospel, ordained minister, Baptist preacher, under Christ, that I am to rebuke before all the elders that sin. That they, others may be warned. And that's right in this context, see, 1 Timothy 5:20. So you see, this rebuke is
very... Is rebuke there?
Yeah, this rebuke here. But it's elenchos, still that's the conviction.
Convict,
that's right. See, that's it. So... you see, for instance, in Matthew 18, you go and tell him his fault between them. To tell the fault is elenko. Put the finger right on him and expose his fault, see? Say, wait a minute, Buster, you lied to me. Oh, that's not popular, see? If he won't hear you, then you bring another one, see? But that is elenko. Reprove, expose, rebuke, and convict him. Then Luke 3:19, being reproved by him for Herodias. John the Baptist was rebuked. That's why he lost his head. I tell you, this is not popular. He lost his head because he rebuked because of divorce and remarriage. Mm-hmm. And you preach on that and you see how many people want you back as your preacher. If that's your candidate sermon, lay him right out. Really, seriously. I mean, it's a sad, sad, sad thing when people won't listen to the Word of God and if they don't want a preacher that's fearlessly preaching it. It's a sad commentary. And when you have to trim your sails here and trim your sails there, I realize you've got to be tactful and you've got to be human, you've got to be with everything, but I mean, in any way, so tactful so many times you don't know who you're tiptoeing to through the tulips, you know, like that high-pitched screwball used to sing about. What's his name? right here from New Jersey, in Cherry Hill, I think. Did you live around here? Or did Vicky come from here? Maybe Vicky came from this area, yeah. Vicky is his first wife, and I've got a second wife. And so
he had a wife?
I'm surprised.
I don't know. But John 3:20, lest his deeds should be reproved, doesn't come like that. It's rich, this lingo. Look in this analytical Greek concordance sometime. You only see about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, about 8, 16, or 17 uses of lingo. But it's very well worth your while. And elenkos, the actual reproof, the noun form, is only used twice. So that other one, epitimao now, that's a different, a stronger word, but as I say, I don't know what that is offhand. I guess
the rebuke?
The rebuke. The one that's rebuked, at least in 2 Timothy 4,
right.
2. Yeah.
Rebuke.
Yeah. The... Of course, you see, this reproof sometimes is translated in our King James Version as rebuke, mm-hmm. which is all right, but mostly it's reprove, and so on. Now, for instance, Revelation 3:19, as many as I love, I rebuke. Elenko, see. I expose, I turn the light upon, I convict, I make them agree that they're wrong, and I convict them in open court, see. That's the word for conviction. I mean, a prosecuting attorney convicts. That's what he does. The one that's sinned, the one that's done wrong. And so epitimao, let's just touch base and we'll move on through our own tulips here. Epitimao, if I can find the thing. Epi. I used to enjoy Dr. W.E. Blake, a Greek teacher at University of Michigan. I remind myself of him every time I look up something here. I was so glad every time you look up the thing because I didn't have to translate as much, and we'd waste a lot more time looking up stuff than we know the translations. And so, and any time a kid would sidetrack him off things, that means we wouldn't have to translate as much. And so, I was tickled to death because that was so hard. All those classical Greek writers. Oh, I didn't know language. I just had Spanish in high school. I had no Latin. I had no, you know, these cases and so on. Well, you got in. It's one thing with Bible Greek when you got a little from epiphany. Epiphanerao, phaneo, see, phaino, to shine, to show, epiphany, phanerao, to make manifest. All right, so these are called contract verbs, as you mentioned, with the alpha, epsilon, omicron, the three vowels in there, the thematic vowels, and so forth. In lesson 49, we'll be studying those, the present and imperfect, and so on. But the future now of these verbs, we're getting into the future, so they're going to give us some future pictures here. Agapao is agapeso.
Mm-hmm.
See, the alpha lengthens to the eta, and the sigma is always the indication of the future. See, wherever you have the sigma, there's your sigmatic aorist. So agapao, agapeso. Laleo, laleso. Fanerao, faneroso. That changes the omicron, because that's more powerful. You got the o-o and o-o, so you got the o-oso. All right, any questions on these?
So that follows pretty close to the rule of the augment. And,
yes, it does. I think it does. Increasing from o-o to o-o, o-so, mm-hmm. that's right, and a-o to a-so, and a to a. That augment rule way back earlier that we saw. And then they've given a little bit of example there. The alpha is lengthened to eta, epsilon to eta, omicron to omega. All right, so notice 2:16. The future of blepo. Stem is blep, so it's ps, blepso. See, the ps.
Okay.
And nipto, the stem is nib, and nipso, nipso. Grapho, graph is grapso. So the sigma is added in the form of the ps, in the psi.
Okay.
All right, any questions on that? Then these are the labials. Blepo is a labial. Notice on bottom of page 41, an aid of memory of these mute stems. Labials of P, beta, phi, plus sigma equals psi. Label that which is with the lips.
You didn't mean 41, you meant 91.
91, I'm sorry. I didn't say 41. Yeah, bottom page 91, I'm sorry. Bottom page 91. Labials. See, made with the lips. The palatals, made in the back of the palate, back of the throat. See, that's all xi. Linguals with the tongue. See your tongue touching mm-hmm. your teeth ridge? These are all tongue-type vowels. Those go into the sigma. And so the labials are 2:16, blepo, nipto, grapho. And they're all into the blepso, nipso, grapso.
So
hey, go ahead.
So in the
these are illustrative. So if you want to put right in after 216 labials, that's what you got.
Yeah, in the linguals, then it will just drop if it will just drop the theta.
Everything goes right into the sigma. That's right. Just obliterates it. Okay. The next to the palatals, page 91 at the top, the future dioko, the palatal, see kappa, gamma, and chi, dioko, dioxo, ago, axo, echo, exo, hexo. Let's see. Is that hexo? Yeah, hexo. Be sure that rough breathing. Hexo. Watch that. Your eyes may not pick that up, but that's a hexo for the palatals.
Mm-hmm.
See. Then the future of the linguals, sozo is soso.
Oh,
okay. And patho is peso. It just drops it right out. It goes into the sigma only.
Okay.
All right, any questions? That's the general rule of these contract verbs. And they're bringing it up because these are irregular futures. That's why they're bringing them up at this time. Any questions further on that? Now, I have in the past asked you to take the future of the Akapa'o, Lale'o, Panera'o, and Blepo, Nipton, Grafo, Dioko, Ago, Echo, Sozo, Peto, like that. Whether I should this go around or not, let's see what how we feel as we go through the rest of the lesson, see how we're doing here, time-wise and so on. That's what I normally assign, is to learn those future stems. All right, we'll hold that in advance for now until we complete the review here for next week. Notice paragraph 217. There's more or less background. The consonants are labial mutes, P, beta, and phi, or stops, maybe the lips. Kappa, gamma, and chi are palatal mutes, or stops, and maybe the soft palate. Tau, delta, and theta, lingual or dental, or maybe the tongue or teeth, as we've said. Aid to memory is in that little box in 218. Any questions on that?
But that's the key, if this is the key to the contraction or the change of the consonant, is this little key down here.
Yes.
The memory key.
Yeah, I think that's memory key. That's very important.
So whether if you had blepo or not, if you knew
labial,
then you know that that...
See, it has to do with the lips. Labial meaning lips. So if you put it in a s, it's ps, you got to have c, see? And the palatal is back in the throat, whether it's k, and then with a c, with an s on it, it's ks, it's c. And the labials with a s, t, z, and it just forgets the other, it just breaks the signal. You can kind of figure it out that way. That is the key to unlock the doors there. Any questions further on that? Paragraph 218. All right, 219 then. The verb stem is not the same as in the present stem. Many verbs, for instance, nipto, it's nib. Present stem nips. Verb stem sodzo is sod. Notice footnote 1, zeta is treated as a combination of delta and zeta. Z. That's what it is, delta and z, d and z, I guess, zeta, z. The verb stem of philasso, which is to guard, is philak, future of philaxo. The future of baptizo is baptid, so it's baptiso. That's the future. See, these are different forms, but if you don't know what they are, it's hard to translate them if you're in the context very quickly. So as a rule, when you have a synopsis of a verb stem, you give the present, the future, the aorist, and the perfect, and that's more or less the synopsis. I don't know if they have any synopses back in the back of the book. I think they do. Yes. Notice on page 233. Notice on 233 the chart. Present, for instance, didumi, I give. Future, doso. Aorist, edoka, future active, dedoka, future perfect passive, dedomai, and aorist passive, edothing. That's what you call a synopsis of a verb stem, see. And it's good to know the synopsis, the future, the aorist, perfect active, perfect passive, aorist passive of of all the verbs that you can learn. I mean, that way you let's see, what's this for? Well, that's related to this, and we get the connection. So that's more or less the synopsis of verbs. And future is always a part of that, because the future is a different form usually than the present, as far as the sigma, you see that's there. All right, any questions further on 219? All right, the 220, the future of any word cannot be certainly determined beforehand. You've got to memorize that future. You don't know what that future form is. That's where your analytical lexicon is helpful, or any lexicon. Look up under the regular root of it, dioko, it'll give you the future right there. It'll give you the aorist, it'll give you all these other forms. They should.
What do we say? I was looking up Hebrew, I-D-E-M, idem.
Idem. Idem means the same.
The same as?
Ditto, yeah, the same as. Id,
same as
idem.
The one above it then?
That's right.
Okay.
That's the same as the one above it. So just, even you know, like a ditto mark right down. Idem means same in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
Idem. So.
Remember we had that problem in Hebrew, right?
We just had the ID. Though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right, now.
Well, that's how it is in the Hebrew lexicon.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I mean, Idem. It's ID, period.
Period, right.
You see in research work, and you have
bibliography,
you have Ibid, which is Idem, which is in the same place. And then you have opposite, of course, opera catato, the work cited. But Ibidem means in the same place. So the same, Ibidem, Ibid, you see, is what you use in that. All right. Any further questions on that one? By 220, let's continue on that. You don't know what it is. A verb may make its future on a durative root, a punctiliar or aoristic root, or on a different verb root completely. So, echo has two futures. Hexo, durative, and scheso, punctiliar. Because scheso is from the aoristic root, and hexo is from the echo, which is the durative root, so future of erchomai, elesomai. It's nothing to do with either root, aoristic or the durative, the punctiliar durative. The future of some verbs occurs only in the middle voice. For instance, ginosko, future of ginosomai. You don't have any ginosko, any other thing, because you got the sigma, I guess, right there. It looks like a future to start with, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Ginosko, ginoskso, I guess you'd have to say. In general, lexicon must be consulted for each verb. That's so true. Future verbs with liquid stems, lambda, mu, nu, and rho, will be given in lesson 46. The liquid stems more or less just have an accent different than the other one. As we said before, sometimes the only way you can tell the difference between a future and a present is the way the accent is. For instance, meno means I remain. But nu is a liquid. It's one of the liquids here. And so I will remain is meno accent, circumflex accent over the omega. So that meno accent with acute accent on the E. See, we don't memorize, I don't make you memorize accents here necessarily, but you've got to know accents in order to know what forms are. So you've got to see them and recognize them as far as recognition. All right, so let's get that later. Any questions now on the page 92?
I'm just thinking that I can imagine if we had to memorize the
accent.
Oh, I know.
Well, you have to go with the rules.
Yeah.
That's the rule is to go with the rules.
Yeah,
the rules.
So many exceptions to those rules. You just keep going and going and going and going around. So anyway, but you may, Gwen. I don't want to discourage excellence in memorization rules. I don't want to discourage you, so you may go ahead. And with my blessing, no question. You may memorize all of them if you wish. But, I mean,
I stopped.
Yes, well, you just get bogged down. That's why I know in advance what's coming. That's why I try to cushion you to start. That these are important, these are not so important. See, you've got to balance some things. Can't learn it all. You've got to learn something. Let's learn what we do learn as well as possible. All right, so an assignment there for next time. We'll take the vocabulary course 214. We're holding the bands 215, 216 as far as those futures for now, but we definitely have the exercise at 221. And then on 29, we'll take half of that, which would be vocabulary at 222, and the declension of Elpis, 224, declension of Archon, 228. And that would stop us there. All right, let's take a look at 29. You got those all?
So it's two vocabs.
Yeah, we got two vocabularies, okay. And one exercise next time.
Okay.
We'll
228 also.
And we got the declensions?
Yeah, declensions, 224, 228. Those four declensions. Third class. Kapis, Kadis, Nux, and Archon. So...
This is just a different form of a third declension. I thought we had
yes,
a third
declension. Yes, well, they're all different. You know, different endings, different roots, and different stems. We didn't have third declension, and now there's just more forms of the same. All right, let's go on to look at 29 then. Vocabulary. The ruler, the prince is what? The ruler, the prince.
Archon.
Watch your accent.
Archon.
Genitive is what? To
Archontos.
Now you see this third class always gives a genitive, so you know where to go from there. Archontos, Archonti, Archon. All right, the hope is what?
Helpis.
Helpis. All right, and
why did they give the genitive there?
Because in third declension, you don't know what the genitive is going to be. In fact, you don't even know it's a third declension.
Yeah.
You could say Archon, well, it's Archon and Arku, Arco. You just go ahead as if it's a second declension noun. But the fact that you give the genitive, it helps you to see what the stem is. Archon, Archontos. See? You know what the rest of them are going to be. It helps you out to know the rest. But that's why they give that in third declension. It's so irregular. It's so out of this world, it's so different than first and second declension, that you need this genitive to start you off. So whenever you see a genitive, well, no, because they give genitives, usually a lot of them give genitives, so you know where to go. If you look in the analytical lexicon, you will find the nominative and then you find the genitive, usually. If you look in any good lexicon, you'll find usually the genitive is right there next to it, for the most part. Now, we haven't had so much in our book here. I think maybe even later on you may get the genitives even in second class. I'm not sure what he does. I don't remember. On page 133, of course, you got third declension. You got the genitives. Were there any of these others? Anybody see any in the back of the, near the back of the book where you got genitives other than third class? He did say he was going to get third declension nouns. Substantives. He was going to give the genitive, and that would give you the clue. Well, I don't, maybe not, but I know some lexicons do have the genitive right in there. And I wonder, I think this probably one is one of them. For instance, just a random take, if I can find a noun here very quickly. Yes. Hey, Elia. The olive tree. Hey, Elia. Right after that, you got Alpha Sigma, As, Elias, see? Not just a regular old first class declension, first declension, rather, but it has no genitive. That's what any respectable lexicon will have, the nominative and the genitive, to let you know what they're going to do from there. Once you get that As, then you go right down the line just as regular.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's third class, you'll find it a little bit longer, on toss and so on, and you go right down on third class. Third class, third declension. So that's why the genitive is very important. It shows you where to go from there. All right. The hope is what? We've finished that. A elpis, and the genitive is tes what? Elpidos. And it even accents it for you if it's different than the first.
Mm-hmm.
See, archon, archontos. Doesn't accent it, so you know it's not archontos, it's archontos. If it's on the syllable, it should be the iota there. Elpis, elpis, elpidos, tes elpidos. All right, the hope. I see any archon, architect, of course, ruler, right. Prince. Archaeology, the study of old things. Well, see, old and ruler are connected because usually the older people are the rulers, and so on. It's not as easy as come by, but you find Arco is rule, and Arco is first, it's beginning, see, in the beginning, and Arche in Hologos, in the beginning was the word. It's and if you're the beginning, you're the older one, archaeology, study old things, and if you're on the inside track, you're one of the elders, and the elders use the rulers, you see. So it's just like why fire engines are red. You've heard that many times, haven't you? Why fire engines are red?
No.
Start out with, boy, it's been so long, let's see if I can figure it out. because fire engines are red, and to drive them, you usually you need 2 feet, right, to put your foot on the pedals. And foot is also called a ruler. And Queen Mary is also a ruler. She was a ruler. Queen Mary is also a ship. And ships go in the ocean. And there are fish in the ocean. And fish have fins. And the fins fought the Russians. And the Russians are red. And
I think that's where you stop.
Let me see. Fire engines are always Russian. Therefore, fire engines are red. Isn't that something? I had to go way back in my boyhood memory for that. But that's the way with our phone. So you got to get the roundabout way.
You talked about Red Russia back in your boyhood.
Oh, yes, that's right. They were the Reds versus
way
the White Russians.
Then,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Look at that man rubbing it in. Oh, yes. One girl in Spanish called me Snowhead, and they said it was snowing. So it's just fine. No problem.
You're Snowhead, but it doesn't snow, right?
That's right. I wished I had known the Spanish word for coal. I used to have to use it in English. I didn't know the coal, but I talked to her in Spanish and told her her head was, you know, beautiful black head of hair, a mm-hmm. Spanish girl she was. Mm-hmm. I said, that's fine. White is all right. I've been white for a long time, you know, really. Some get whiter quicker than others, and others you'll never know they're white because of the bottles that they use.
Mm. A hoary head, right?
Yes, that's right. The hoary head. It tells us scripture. She would have gotten the wrong idea there, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Spelling and all. They don't know spelling. All right. The night is what?
Nux.
Hey, nux. And tastes what? Genitive?
Nux.
Nuctus. All right. Believe it or not, nocturnal yes. is the Latin from that. Nuctus, right. You see.
Right.
Nocturnal.
Okay.
That's the night, nocturnal. The foot is what? The foot.
Apus,
genitive?
Potos.
Potos. That tastes potos, rather. Tastes potos. Right. Okay. So potos from pedal. You see, we're through the Latin. Ped is foot, and pod, and pod. P-O-D is a foot, and a pod, the plant. All right, pedal. That which your foot rests upon, you see, therefore, a pedestal, that which your feet stand upon, pedestal, these are all from pod. Actually, the genitive gives you a better memory hint than the regular nominative does. It pus, your foot is pus, that's nothing. The light as well.
Pus.
Tafos. That might be good on a test to see if you can remember why fire engines are red.
Yeah,
next week I might
extra credit.
All right, the light is phos, and the genitive is
photos.
All right,
photons.
To photos. I put in photographic and first phos.
Okay.
Photographic. That's a very good memory. And the grace is what?
Charis.
Charity is one, and the genitive tastes
charitas.
Charitas. All right, and the business or the work.
Ergasia.
So you see, this is the standard first conjugation, first declension, first declension, because
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have any genitive.
Right.
And his clue was, it's not third class unless I give you the genitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way his clue is in his quote. The other lexicons, of course, give genitive no matter what. All right, any question on this? Erg is a measure of work, isn't it, in physics? Erg, E-R-G, so erg, ergasia. Taken from that, remember. Yeah, any questions on that?
Do we have to know them both, or just the one?
What? Oh, the genitive?
Genitives.
I guess you give the nominative form. Just when you're in your declension, you have to know the whole mm-hmm. thing. So, just the nominative is all right. Yeah. But they're there, so that you'll have them if you need them to look them up. The stem of Elpis is Elpid. Charis is Charit, and Nux is Nuct. Paragraph 223, page 93. Elpids becomes Elpis, and so on. But to memorize them, it's easier. Now, let's go to the actual declensions of Elpis, Hope, and Charit, Charitas, Charis, Grace, and Nuctos, Night. All right, start with Elpis. Of course, in your declension, I want you to do the articles with them so you get that familiarity. We won't do it here, but put your articles in to keep that ideas. Hey, Elpis, right? Let's go on to Pope.
So that would be the same then as what we have over in Page 85.
Yes, for the if that's the feminine article, yes. Is that it? Feminine article, hey?
No, it's neutered. That's the neutered. Where's the feminine? They're way back when we first discovered the first declensions.
That would be we just write them in now, but the first declensions would be back in page 49. Hey phone. Page 49. And you need to brush up a little on those. Phil, I noticed you're omitting your Yoda subscripts on the last year's around data. So brush up a little. Your article are all right, but sometimes you forget it on the actual word itself.
Yeah.
Okay, and then let's go through it then, just Elpis without the article. Elpis, Elpidos, Elpidos, Elpidi, 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 Elpida. The plural. Elpides, Elpidon, Elpidon, Elpisi, 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 Elpidas. All right, let's go through it again. Elpis. Elpis, Elpidas, Elpidas, Elpidi, 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 Elpida, plural. Elpides, Elpidon, Elpidon, Elpisi, 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 Elpidas. All right, any questions on that? Just a question of memory, and you got the os, e, a endings, you know, and the roots are different. The stems are different, but the endings are similar to what we have. All right, hey, charis, the grace. Let's go through grace just without the article. Charis, charitos, charitos, charity, 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 chari. And the plural? Charites, chariton, chariton, charity, excuse me, charisi, 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 charitas. All right, let's go through that again. Charis, charitos, charitos, Charity, 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 charin. Plural, charites, chariton, chariton, charisi, 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 charitas. Close to heresy, isn't it? Charisi. Yeah. All right, let's go to the night. Henuktos. Henuktos. Henuks, rather. Henuks, should say. All right. Nuks, nuktos, nuktos, nukti, 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 nukta. Plural. Nuptes, nukton, nukton, nuksi, 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 nuptas. Once more. Nux, nuptas, nuptos, nukti, 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 nukta. Nuptes, nukton, nukton, nuksi, 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 nuptas. Any questions on those three? Wrap them up for next week and bring them along. That'd be fine. Accusative of singular forms, you know, they give the notes this background, and paragraph 225 is background. Like their instrumental dative, they drop the C and so on, they swallow it up. All right, monosyllables of 226 generally have the accent on the ultimatus. Again, background as far as accents. 227, again, it's background on the stems and the formations. I think it's just as easy to learn them as they are, but if you want to use those to reason things out as to why, that's fine too. Any questions on those? All right, 228, the declension of Archon, Ha Archon, the ruler. All right, if you want to learn the article, of course, this would be the masculine article, Ha, Tu, To, To, Ton, and so on. All right, let's go with Archon. Archon, Archontos, Archontos, Archonti, 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 Archonta. Plural. Archontes, Archonton, Archonton, Archusi, 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 Archontas. Right again. Archon, Archontos, Archontos, Archontes, excuse me, Archonti, 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 Archonta. Right, plural. Archontes, Archonton, Archonton, Archusi, 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 Archontas. Right, 229 is background as to the details. Now notice 230 have a little bit of syntax here and expressions of time. The locative denotes a point in which, the location of time, the accusative duration of, the genitive time within which. Accusative is how long it took, the duration of time. We were here for how long? In the accusative, for 3 hours, duration of that. The test was given at 7 o'clock. That's the point in which, I guess, the test was given. The time within which genitive It went from 7 to 7:30. I guess that would be the time within which. These are difficult when you get them out in the air. The genitive time, the kind of time, within which the kind of time. For instance, they give an example, nukti or en nukti, in the night. That's your locative. Mm-hmm. That's the in which time of the night. Nukta, during the night. And nuktos, at night, not a day. Just the kind of time. It was nighttime instead of daytime. So that's the. Now these are fine points, but he shoots in a few syntactical and other type of grammatical lessons every once in a while. Are there any questions on any of the work there? All right, so summing up for next week, lesson 28. Well, actually, we take the exercise 213, right? That's the first one. No, wait a minute.
No, 214.
You start right on 214. Okay, 214. You're right. We already had the other. Take your 214 vocabulary. Let's, for our purposes, assume that you know the futures here. And without being too assumptive, take 215, agapao, laleo, and ponerao to see that you know agapeso, laleso, and foneroso. At least the A, E, and O verbs, you see, the contract. And we'll assume that you know these kind of these mute stems and the labels. Just take that one, 215, since you've been quite busy with other things. 221 we'll take, and 222 is vocabulary. Take your declensions, 224, 228, and stop short of the exercise. So take two vocabularies, one exercise. Any questions on that further? All right, we have two exercises to accomplish in 30 minutes. Can we do it? Would you change papers, please?
Huh? No, we can't.
No, we can't. All right. If we are on track and on target, I think we can do it. 15 minutes per. All right, I'll stop. Sure, my stopwatch. For the first 15 minutes, which is on page what? 86, is it? Is it paragraph 204? All right. Put your graded name at the bottom, please. Graded by and name.
Conservation.
All right, let's go on with the Greek of number one, 86, paragraph 204, page 86. What's that first one say in the Greek?
86.
Be careful of your enclitic.
Tutos.
Careful. Go read the next, the two words together.
Tutos.
Okay. Tutos. All right. Good. Next. What's your next two words now?
Tasuma.
Next word, two words.
Somamu.
All right, somamu. See, somamu. See, here's two enclitics.
Well, don't you put that all together?
Yeah. Somamu. Yeah. Somamu. That's right. All right, so what do we say there?
These,
plural. Tauta.
These things.
Oh, no. This.
Tuta.
This.
Singular.
It, what, is.
Is.
The body, or his body.
Not him, but me. Me, move. Me.
Me.
Oh. Yeah, move. So this is my body. This is the body. This is my body. All right, questions on one.
Didn't
I read the Greek for two?
Ta.
Hremata. Hremata. Hremata.
Zoes.
Zoes.
Ioniu.
Eches. All right, what does that say?
The words of life, eternal life.
You have the words of eternal life. John 6. To whom should we go, Lord? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Any questions on two? All right, third, read that in the Greek. What's that say?
Gnosomen.
What's your
Gnosomen?
Gnosomen. All right, Gnosomen.
Thelema.
What's your accent?
Thelema.
Thelema.
To
Thelema.
What's your accent?
To
Thelema. What does that say?
We know. The. What's that?
Thelema.
Will of God.
Will of God. We know the will of God, or we are knowing the will of God. Any questions further on three? All right, four. What's that Greek say?
Anima.
Anima. Is
that John?
This is John. Yes, the name of John. So maybe I thought they could slip in a proper name. All right, what is that? What is that translated?
The name
is
him.
The name was.
All right.
Yeah.
A name was to him of John.
The name was
the name to him.
To him was of.
For him.
Yeah, for him.
For him, John.
For John.
Does the name do the names agree in case? Later on, we did have
some of them were declined, some of them were not declined.
So does there have to be any agreement in that area? There,
yes, there usually is.
But is a John is that in a genitive?
I think it's the name of John was to him.
The name of John was
a name of John was to him. I think that would be the way. I'm not sure that Ioannis is declinable. I think that it is. Let me see if this would have it. I'm not sure.
In the other one, it looked like Jesus Christ was.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Declined.
Jesus and Yesu, yes.
Yep.
Yesu Christu.
Did we have that before, though, John?
I don't think, I'm not sure. Yoda Omega, isn't it? Yoda Moye Ioannis. Ioannane? All right. Ioannis. Well, you see, in this case, man, this is the nominative. was John. That's right, it's the nominative. It looks like a genitive, but ha, Ioannis, Ioannou. To Ioannou. It's a genitive. So Ioannou would be the genitive. So this is the nominative. Best, what'd you say?
John, we would never
the name
know.
Of him or to him.
Was the name. John was the name. Yes, we wouldn't know. It looks like a
it looks like a genitive.
Now, you see, you have Ioannane is the accusative. Ioannane is the accusative. Ioannae is the dative, locative instrumental dative, to him. Ioannas, it's Joanna. It's different.
So
there you got Ioannes.
His name.
Ioannae. This of Ioannes is the Ioannou. Ioannes is a genitive, Ioannou. So it goes around Ioannou, Ioannane, Ioannae. Ioannes, though, is a nominative. It's a funny looking nominative, but it's a regular first declension nominative. So the name to him was John.
That's probably what his father said, right?
I think so. That's what he wrote.
That's probably where he got it from, because it's kind of strange.
Well, that's the way the Greeks say it, and I think the Hebrew says a little bit
different. Was John, though?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's his
father. Well, he is John. His name is John. That's right. His father said. Any other questions? Zechariah. All right. Five. Okay. Read that Greek. What does it say?
Sperma.
Abraham. What's your accent?
Abraham.
Abraham
Esnan.
See, that's
enclitic.
Is
it enclitic?
Yeah.
Even though it's not on the end, it's on the...
You only have one accent, so when you have it on the ultimate, just one does all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Swoops it right up. All right, what does that say?
The seed. I don't know if that... was of Abraham?
Just say of Abraham. You can put the genitive in there. It probably is genitive. If you look it up,
we are
the same. We are. We are the seed of Abraham.
Seed of Abraham. Okay.
And the New King James would say that we are the descendants of Abraham. They don't like seed. Sperm is seed? I mean,
is it the or a?
We are a sperm or a seed or a descendant of Abraham. But it could just be a seed. Yeah.
A seed. That's the way it is, but wouldn't that...
You'd almost think of the seed. In English, it'd say the seed. We would, in English, we translate it with an article. All right, six. What's that Greek one say?
Telete.
Again.
F is against.
Hemas.
Ta-hima. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Two.
And
Anthropo.
Two. All right, what does that say? Telete.
Ye will.
Ye will.
Lead. To lead.
To lead. or to bring, the leader to bring. Yeah. You will to bring, or you want to bring against F in the sense of against him, us.
Us?
Against us.
The blood.
The blood
of the man.
Of this man. Yes, sir. You want, or are you willing to lead or bring against us the blood of this man? Any questions on
six? That's a big question.
It is kind of awkward.
Yeah, that is a question. Yeah. do you want to bring against us the blood of this man? It is a question. Semicolon is a question. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that?
Hmm? Oh, semicolon is an indication. Yeah.
How many points is that?
Well, for what? We'll throw that in.
9 points off.
All right, we've got number two. The English, English to Greek. All right, this is the will of God. Who's got that? This is the will of God.
Eston,
the will.
The will is...
Thelema is will. So it's
Thelema, Thelema,
mm-hmm. of God. All right, got that?
It
has to
be Estin.
Estin. Why would he have sort of Estin or Esti?
No, well, you don't need the N, the no. Noon. The new.
Scripture has an excellent article on the movable new in his book, the big 920-page book. By the way, we've got all seven of the ones, the copies we made, sold, and two more that are requests that she's copying 10 more now. I had a call tonight for a man, a principal, Greek fellow, Jerry Lucas, when he gets back, so they'll drop our news report on Pensacola, but he's ordered one too. He's going to order one. So I said, get your money in because, you know, the first come, first serve.
What was that for?
For the scripture, that big 920-page scripture's introduction to Greek.
Didn't I order that?
You ordered one? Oh, did you?
I did
buy a word of mouth. Okay, right. You did say you saved one. Okay, right. So you're number four then on this next 10. She's making one now. I should have given you the first seven.
Right.
I'm sorry. my mind is not... So anyhow, you go ahead and remind me when she gets those because they may go fast. You may have to have another 10. It takes a long hour. An hour. It takes about 10 or 11 hours to just copy one. You know, we're getting 10 at a time, but last time she did 7 at a time, you know, where she's trying to do, but it just in her spare moments. She's through the volume 1, she's in volume 2 of page 30, so another week or so. All right, this is the will of God. These are the good seed. He's got a good article on that movable new, though.
Is that right? Reading
it. Excellent. These are the good seed. He gives it the Greek tauta. These are, you can use a singular for that, Estin or Esti.
So
the seed, the good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Ta sperma. Ta sperma, the alpha.
Mm-hmm.
Seed. Ta, the good. Ta agatha.
Right?
Ta agatha. The good, the seed, the good. Right?
Right.
Ta agatha, sperma. If you want to say that. Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
These are the good seeds. These tauta can take a singular verb, tauta esti.
Okay. Now you gotta have the. Let's see, you've got this in it wrong. Let's see. Don't you have to have that in the attributive position?
Yeah, that's right. So ta agatha sperma or ta sperma ta agatha.
Why agatha?
Because it's neuter. Ta sperma is neuter.
But is it
ta sperma and ta?
Oh, these are the good seed.
Yeah.
I think these. Are
that's before. Yeah.
Sperma.
These are the good seed. And seed in the sense of plural. See,
what about sperma?
Is it? That's I don't know
well,
what
let's
that
see,
is.
This is plural. Sperma. Mine may be singular.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, you're right. This is third class. Third.
Well, wait a minute now.
You're correct. Sperma. Yeah. I let me see here. Where are you defining these?
These
onomata?
Yeah.
Okay, it's in line with 85. Sperma, spermata. Let's see, where is the sperma given in your vocabulary? Is it a third section? A sperma? Yeah, tough sperma.
Mm-hmm.
It's given with a third section. Yeah, spermata. So it would be understood.
It's a plural
spermata.
Use
this. Ta spermata, ta agata. Are there any questions further on two? Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So what is it?
These tauta esti ta agatha spermata.
Now, could you use a plural verb? I think I did.
Asin, but tauta, the neuter plural, is a singular verb. That's just one of those little peculiarities of Greek. Any other question on that? All right, three, the words of the prophet are written in the scriptures. What would that be? The words. Logos is words, so it would be logoi of the prophet.
Two prophetes.
Prophetes, right? Are written. So written. To write is grapho. Are written is graphetai.
So it'd be.
So graphon, graphusi.
Wait a minute, I thought it.
Graphusi. Graphontai. Are written because you have a passive, graphontai. Written in the scriptures.
Graphontai.
Are written would be your passive.
Graphontai,
that's right, that's right. In the scripture. And.
En.
Tais graphais, right? En tais graphais, in the scriptures. Locative, instrumental, and dative. Is that right? En tais graphais. Any questions on that one? Words of the prophets are written in the scripture.
The.
Our four?
The grantai there. What?
Graphontai, so that would be your passive. The passive form here. Luontai.
Present passive.
See, indicative passive. The passive over here. Graphontai. Are written. See.
Now there you have to use a.
They are written.
You have to use a plural verb, right?
Right.
Yes, because it's scripture.
Masculine.
The words. Of the problem. Are written. They. The words they are written. See, the words they. See?
They are written.
They are written. Graphontai. In the script, and ties.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me see now. If he, I'm trying to look at this as being a, he may be right. He used the neuter for word, which would be.
How can you use the neuter when it's.
There's a neuter word for word. It's
harema. Oh, all right. That's okay.
So if he used ta harema, he could use a singular verb.
Yeah. Tarema.
He could use the same, so he's right.
That's right, he's all right.
Sure. Okay. So written is a
are written, see, that means it's a passive. Are written by someone else. The verb to be are plus the past participle of the verb because that becomes a passive. Are written. By somebody, understood. Passive, see, instead of an active. The prophet writes, that's active. But it's written by the prophet, that's passive. Right? Part four, let us believe on the name of the Lord. Our first 15 minutes are up, man.
Yeah.
Got 15 more to go. Right, the.
Pistoomen.
Pistoomen, let us believe. Pistoomen.
Ace.
The name.
Tu kuriu.
All right, got that?
Is that name, would that be an accusative in the name there?
Unto the name.
Well, it's accusative because it is.
But that accusative is the same form. Ta onoma is an omnibus, so we're all right in the neuter.
Yeah.
Ace, I think accusative, yeah.
It takes.
Any questions further than four? Mm-hmm. All right, that one was baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. That one, a kainos.
So it'd be kainos.
That one was baptizing. Baptized is baptizo, so it was baptized as a passive.
He was baptized. Altus.
Holy is hagios. And Hagion, yes, as a new.
Hagio, right?
It's Hagion.
Ento
Hagio, right? Hagio. The holy. Pneumati. That's your third question.
Gonna go to that again.
Yeah.
That one, Ekenos was baptized, baptized them autus in the Holy Spirit. En to hagio pneumati. Right? Pneumati, third deflection. Any questions on that? Four. All right, five. That one was, oh, yeah, that was five, wasn't it? All right, sixth, final one, the will of God came through the mouths of the prophets. Will of God is, will is what?
Thelema
of God. Truthu came. Well, you know, if you want to have you know, you usually have the article, but if you don't have it, that's all. We're not going to come up. Came. Come is erchomai. So came in the past, and the.
I think there's a regular word there.
Erchomai is elphon.
Elphon,
right? It came, so elphet. You have elphet. That will of God to them, elphet through the mouths.
It's through dia.
Dia, okay. Dia is all right, or n. You know, there's a lot of different instrumentalities, but dia if you wish. Through the mouths. Stoma is it's to stoma. So it's to stomat. Stomasi.
Isn't it?
Stomati. See, it's got to be the likely misnomer dated.
I thought a dia takes an accusative.
Dia, no.
Account of means it, but through is deal with the genitive. I'll look up his chart. Oh boy, we got him dead right.
This is a good chart. I'm dead.
Dia with the accusative on account of, because of dia with the genitive. Yeah, right. Through, but it means something. All right. So this would be stomaton. Mm-hmm. Stomaton.
Mm-hmm.
Of the prophets. Of the prophets. Tom prophetum. Any question on six?
Yeah, can you repeat it?
All right, the will of God, Tothelema, Tuthu, came. Elfe, Dia, Tois, Ton, yeah, Ton, Stomaton. Ton prophetum.
What's the verb? Elfe?
Elfe. Yeah, elfon, you see, elfe. Heirs with the third person singular. All right?
Okay.
All right, go on to the next one. We have 4 minutes of our 15, leaving us with about 10 and a half. All right. We'll dispense with the reading of the Greek, Christos, Kuther, Himon. Apethanon is translated.
Okay, Christ died in behalf of.
Christ died for us, on behalf of us, and the heiress, and that's behalf with the benefits toward a huper rather than anti. Okay, very good. All right, two, on page 8. An pistoomen to onamati Jesu Christu pistoi esmen.
If we believe.
That's right, we believe.
We're believing.
On the name of Jesus Christ, we are faithful ones. It's an adjective meaning faithful ones. We are believers. Or faithful. All right, any questions on two? Three. Aan paralam labosi taremata autu pisteususin auto. Three.
If they receive the word of him. You see, they are believing.
They are, but the stos with the signal, future tense.
They will believe on him.
Okay. If they receive his words, they will believe on him. All right, four. Hutos estai kai en tais hemerais tu huiu tu anthropu.
Thus
or so estai. It shall be. That's the future of Amy. It shall be.
Thus it shall be.
Even in the days.
Of the Son of Man.
So it should be, thus should be in the days of the Son of Man. Okay, four. The question on that? Five. Peritouton me epomen. Peritouton. Concerning these things, me epomen. Epomen from apo, apon, lego is your present, apon is the aorist. As epomen, the hortatory subjunctive, let us. Concerning these things. Let us not speak. See? Let us not say apomen. See, let us not speak. Got that one? Concerning these things, let us not speak. Let us not say. Six. Hutos de esontai hoi protoi eskatoi. Right, what do we got there?
Thus.
Thus, or and thus, or and so. As sometimes your future. Or the verb to be. But thus it shall be, or so that shall be, or and. So sometimes just and. It shall
the
be.
The first.
Last. Okay. Oh, thus
they
shall be.
Yes, they shall be. They shall be, right.
That's what I. Yeah, they shall
they
be.
They shall be.
Mm-hmm. Thus shall be the first. The first shall be last.
Yeah.
That's right. Thus the first shall be last.
The first one shall be last.
First one shall be last. Mm-hmm. Any question on that? All right. Let's go to the English to Greek then. 7.5 minutes. Okay. Right dead center. Half and half. Number one. The sons of men shall believe on the word of God.
We are
the sons of men.
Anthropon.
Shall believe. Believe is pistao, so the future is
pistao susi.
An is accusative.
Tois logois.
The accusative probably. Ton logon. How about ton logon? How about that? Accusative, huh? Ton logon. Two thirds. Any questions on one? Question on that one? All right, two. There shall be joy in heaven because he is saved. There shall be joy. It's future of the verb ame.
Is it?
To be.
I said a joy shall be in heaven, is that?
That's all right. Start with joy. He chara, the joy, shall be. Estai, right?
Estai.
Estai.
Mm-hmm.
Estai. Future.
Shall be.
Estai.
Yes.
Estai. It shall be. Estai. It shall be in heaven.
When you put the eke in, you don't?
Shall.
There. Eke.
Well, that's an expletive. Eke. I see. Eke.
You put that first?
You don't have to put eke if you don't want to. In other words, we say in English, there shall be joy in heaven. The Greek would say, joy shall be in heaven. This is more of an expletive in English. You could have eke there in that place, but I don't think we mean there in that place. I think we mean just here, there shall be. It's an expletive that doesn't really mean there in that place.
Right. Okay.
It doesn't mean location, it just means there shall. It's the way we say it. So you open
up. But if you have it, it's fine.
Joy in heaven, en urano. Because
Hati,
he is saved.
Okay, so that would be
Sozata. He is saved. Sozata. Any questions on two?
We'll run together.
Would you say that again?
Joy shall be Hechara, shall be Estai, and Urano, because Hati, Sozata, because he is saved. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Part three. Ye shall be with me this day. What is that? With 10 minutes out of 15, five to go. Ye shall be with me this day.
Is it mu or moi? Wait a minute. What is that?
It takes genitive or accusative.
Okay.
With me is genitive according to your chart here. So okay. met mu. With me.
Got that wrong too.
This day. Hey himara, hey to this one. Matuto, right? Or excuse me, haute. It's feminine. He haute or he taute hemera. Which is
haute?
Taute, I guess. Haute, taute. He taute hemera. You learned that from last.
Sure did.
Got that? Any question on that? You shall be with me. Why do you put it in the middle? You shall be. You put it.